Oh, thank you. Sit down. You're too kind. God bless you all. You're looking good today. You're looking very good. We've had a week of spring. It's the second Sunday of spring. How good is that? There's a spring in your step, I can tell. And I am so excited for Increase. 4 weeks and five more sleeps until Increase starts. And we have got over 300 regos already. And this time last year, we didn't even have 100. So stuff is happening. And if you have kids, you need to get them registered now because the kids could max out. Because we could probably only take max 200 kids in all those areas out there. And we don't want your kids to miss out because Increase is a mountaintop experience for all of us. So you want to be there. And you've still got 4.5 weeks to save up. But it will never be as cheap as it is right now today. So that is very exciting. Now, on the way out this morning, there'll be a host on the door handing out leaflets regarding helping us write submissions for this abortion legislation issue that is before Parliament at the moment. And there's only another 10 days until all those submissions need to be in. I want to encourage you to send an email, send a submission. That leaflet will help you do it. Or you can go on the Family First website. Say, Family First. There you go, you've remembered it. Now, on that website is a video. You may have watched it already. It's only 6.5 minutes long. Who's watched it? You need to watch it. It's disturbing. It's horrible. But you need to watch it because it shows the truth of some of this stuff with abortion. And if you've had an abortion, there's forgiveness in Jesus, there's healing, and you're in the right place today. And we've all got a past before we come to the Lord. So, or maybe it's even happened since you knew the Lord. There's grace for you. And we've got Sozo Ministry. How amazing is Sozo? Who's had a Sozo? Oh, it's so good. If you haven't had one, you need to have one. It is fantastic. Just sign up at the info desk. All you've got to lose is an hour of your time, and it is such a powerful encounter with God. So, grab one of those leaflets on your way out, or you can go straight on to that website. We need to speak out now, because all it takes for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing. And we don't want to do nothing. I don't want my kids and my grandkids to say, Mum, what did you do back in the day when they went to pass this law? What did you do? And what do I say? I had too much Netflix to watch. I didn't have time. We've got to do something now. We've got to pray, and we've got to act. In Jesus' name, tell the person next to you, she's right, you know. And tomorrow night, if you've got a free night, I really want to encourage you to get down to our new university campus. At 5:30 p.m., they are having this amazing dramatization of Mark. It goes until 7, it's an hour and a half. And I went last night, we have two of our very own young adults in it. Mason and Sophia were incredible. It is such a powerful encounter. And Andre and I had a great time there. And Jesus was so amazing. And I just wanted to, like, later on I went up and I wanted to hug him. And I wanted to, like, worship him and say, thank you for dying for my sins. But then I remembered just in time he was just an actor. And then Judas, man, they kept running. It's quite interactive. They were running around our row. And I'm thinking, man, I said to Andre, we could take him. Let's take Judas before he gets to Jesus. I was just going to put my foot out, so he just tripped straight over. I said, come on, Andre, he's just a little Filipino guy. We can take him. And Andre was keen. He was like, yeah. He was up for it, but then just in time I remembered it was a show, and so I didn't. Okay, if you're taking notes this morning, we're in a new series for 4 weeks. It's called Back to Basics. And today the first one is Serve. So write that down in your title, Serve. Serve, brother, let me be your servant. We are going to serve. Following Jesus involves serving. So I'm going to talk a bit about serving with a few scriptures. Then we're getting to Genesis chapter 24. You know, we don't just meet Jesus and get saved and then go straight to heaven. In between getting saved and getting to heaven, there's this gap. And in this gap, he has some stuff for us to do. It's about doing some work for him. It's about doing some serving for him that we will get a reward for when we get to heaven. So we don't have to serve the Lord. We get to serve the Lord. It is such a privilege, a huge privilege. And Jesus is so kind, he lets us get involved with what he's doing. You know, he could get the angels to do it all. They'd probably do a better job than us. But he lets us get involved because we're his kids. And hands up if you're a parent, you know what it's like to let your kid help you, don't you? You know, I remember when I was baking and they'd want to help mix or stir, they actually make a big mess and it would be easier to do it yourself without them when they're preschoolers. And then, you know, they take all the credit for it at the end and you're just like, but it's good to involve them. And God does this with us. Now, when it comes to serving God, sometimes we don't know what it is that God wants us to do. And we're like, oh, well, God, I don't know what to do with my life. So we do nothing. But what we should actually do is just say yes and serve somewhere, anywhere, anywhere there's a need. And then over time, God can get more specific with us and direct us, because God can steer a moving ship. But the key is to move. The key is to serve. And serving is giving back to God for all we've received, giving him some of our time, some of our service, our energy, using our giftings and abilities. Because we don't just want to be a taker, we want to be a giver as well. We don't only want to be blessed by the church, we want to be a blessing to the church as well. We don't just want to receive from God's house, we want to give back to God's house as well. And when we serve in God's house, our local church, it gives us a purpose and a sense of belonging, and we become part of something bigger than ourselves. So our first scripture here, write this down, Mark 10:45. Even Jesus served. And it says it here, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Do you know a large part of the Christian life involves service? Hoovering for Jesus, hoover the auditorium or something like that. Service, serving God. If Jesus himself came to serve, how much more should we? You know, John 13 tells us he even took the posture of a servant. He even put on the garb of a servant, put a towel around him, and he washed their feet. Now, we don't do foot washing today, but that would probably equate to cleaning the toilet today. It was a really low job. So Jesus is showing us there's no hierarchy in the kingdom. We are all servants of God. We are all called by God to serve him. God didn't just give us gifts and talents and energy so we could just use them to advance our own financial position. He didn't just give us those talents and gifts so we could get world famous, be a YouTube star, or create some kind of secure future for ourselves. God gave us those gifts and talents and energy so that we could use them to serve him and his people and his house and his kingdom. You know, sometimes we just rock up to church like we're doing God a favor just being there. And he's wanting us to serve. And we're like, well, God, you should just be grateful that I'm here at all. And he's saying, man, I don't want you to just be a pew sitter and take up space like some kind of Christian consumer. I want you to be a part of what I'm doing. Don't just want you to attend church. I want you to get involved and serve. And we can think, what? The audacity of God. Me? Serve? Because our sinful nature, our flesh nature would rather be served than serve. Because then we feel important when people serve us. And we would rather rock up on Sunday, sit back in the pew and relax and say, serve me. Come on, all you minions, run around with your offering buckets, do your thing. Come on, all you guys, get here early and hoover the auditorium. And come on, look after my kids down there and play me some nice music so I'm feeling the atmosphere, I'm feeling the vibe here. And then make me a cup of tea afterwards and clean the toilets while you're at it so it looks nice next week when I come back. I am a Christian consumer, serve me. And we'd rather someone else got up early and attended the pre-meeting. And we'd rather someone else came up on Tuesday to serve on the morning tea to reach out to all those unchurched mums and kids who come in here. And we'd rather someone else volunteered at Scouts on Thursday nights or Tuesday nights. And we'd rather someone else did all the hard work. Someone else, because man, I'm just too busy. I'm just too important. Don't you know God's called me to the nations? Don't you know I'm just waiting for the invitations in my inbox to come in? But it all starts here. It all starts with serving. He's got so many gifted people in the world. He doesn't need any more gifted people. He needs some serving people. He doesn't need any more gifted, talented people. He needs some great hearts. That's what he's looking for. When we serve others, it kills our sinful nature. It kills our selfishness. It makes us treat other people as more important than we are. Serving is good for us. It makes us die to self. Die. It's got to be good. It makes us put others first in our lives. It forces self into second place. We are never more like Jesus than when we are serving other people. Serving is good for me. Say it with me. Serving is good for me. Tell the person next to you, serving is good for you too. Okay, here we go. Second scripture. This is one of my favorites in the whole Bible. I often quote it to my children. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10b. If you don't work, you don't eat. I just heard Brian Houston's leadership podcast in the last week. He did two podcasts, which is one whole staff meeting on this verse. And he exhorted his team very strongly to work hard and do their best and not coast. I thought maybe we should play it in our staff meeting too. But our team are already hardworking. As followers of Jesus, we need to have a good work ethic. The New Testament encourages us to work hard with our hands. But a manual labor doesn't hurt anyone. I get Andre out there mowing those lawns. It's got to be character building for him. And the New Testament exhorts us to be industrious, not just to sit around and not be idle. The New Testament condemns laziness, idleness. Wherever we are, in church, in our jobs, in our homes, let's be a contributor, not a bludger. Here's one more scripture, Hebrews 6, verse 10 to 12. I'll read little bits out of there. Carolyn was telling me this one last week, it was so good. And it says, you have helped God's people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We don't want you to become lazy. So we need to keep serving God and his people and his house right to the very end until there is no more breath left in us. There is no retirement in the Bible. But there is a lot about serving God with longevity, our whole life long, like these people, like Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and they all served God and Joseph until they died, and they were old. You think you're old? No, they were old. They were like mid-80s right up to like 100 and something, something, something. We've got to serve God our whole life long. Serving God looks a lot like serving other people. And serving other people looks a lot like hard work. It's not always easy to serve. I know it's my lowest gifting. It's always easier not to be at church an hour early because you're on sound or the worship team or on setup or on kids ministry. It's always easier to sleep in and let someone else do it. One of those zealous people. But the Lord is asking you and I to get involved and serve him by serving others. Serve him by serving others. I'm talking about going on a roster here this morning. Hands up if you're on a roster at church. Oh, God bless you guys. The rest of you, it's your opportunity this morning to get on a roster. You know, the more of us are on rosters, the less we have to do it. You know, often it's only once a month or even less, something like that. Do you know pride hates to serve? But humility serves willingly and gladly. As we invest our time and energy into serving God and his house and his people, then humility grows inside of us. And when we serve, we become closer to the Lord. Do you know what? The world doesn't get serving. They just don't get it. The world says, why should I serve? What am I going to get out of it? Oh, yeah, I'll serve if you pay me. You know, we were youth pastors here in the 90s for over 10 years, two nights a week, running connect groups on Tuesday and youth on Saturday. And we weren't paid. We didn't expect to be. No one was paid then. And church was a lot smaller. And I was teaching full-time. Alan was an accountant. We had full-time salaried jobs. Now we are paid, but we'd be doing the same thing even if we weren't, because Jesus is our rewarder. I don't know about you, but I spent the first 19 years of my life serving the devil. And that cost me dearly. And now I want to serve God because he rewards us and blesses us hugely. And there's eternal life thrown in as well. It doesn't get any better than this. You know, the world will only serve for a price. But God's people want to serve him simply because I love Jesus and because we're just so grateful to be saved. We're just so grateful to be in the house of God, to be part of the family, to have our names written in his book of life, in his reservation book in heaven. We owe him our very lives anyway. He saved us from death and sin and hell. We could never repay him for what he's done for us, but we can. The least we can do is be a part of his family, a part of his house, do some chores in the house of God, come early on Sunday and serve his people. The least we can do is hoover the parents' room or the foyer or something like that. For him. He is our rewarder. You know, I love it when I come and I see people here early on the door like I did this morning, smiling, welcoming people, setting up the tea and coffee stations, and helping out in the week up here with scouts, with so many things that are on in the building midweek, with Alpha, with Maney Music. And then even here on Sundays too, Dawn and her awesome team taking care of the kiddies down the hall. It means a lot to the Lord when we serve him and when we serve his people and when we serve in his house. He takes it personally. He sees it and he takes note of it. You know, those of us who put our hands up before who are parents, you know how much it means to you if someone helps your kid or serves one of your kids. Or does something kind to them. You help my kid, you touch my heart right there. That's how God feels when we do something for one of his children, for his people, for his house. It's special to him. It blesses him. When the Lord sees us serving him by serving his house and his people, voluntarily, giving up our time for no payment, then with a willing heart, he takes notice of that. And he watches, and these are the people that God tends to promote. Here's a couple more scriptures up there. You can write these ones down. Matthew 25, verse 23. This is Jesus talking in the parable of the talents. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'm going to make you faithful over many things. Or I will put you in charge of many things. And then in Luke 16, I've got most of it up there, 10 to 12, Jesus again saying, if you're faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. If you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? If you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? So we see here three tests of faithfulness in serving God. Number one, the little things. Number two, with money. And number three, with other people's things. I'm going to focus on the first and third of those. The Lord is simply looking for people he can trust. So he starts out, he tests us out by giving us a bit of serving. So he starts out by giving us a wee job. So he sees, oh, here's Peggy, Sister Peggy right here. Let's see if Peggy can be faithful to turn up and hoover the building early before church starts. Let's see. And Peggy signs up. Oh, look at Peggy. She's done it. She's done it for months. She's done it faithfully, regularly, on time, with a sweet spirit. She didn't blow the vacuum cleaner up. She didn't burn the place down. I'm going to promote her. I'm going to see how she goes with something that's alive. Let's give Peggy pot plant ministries. Let's get her to water the pot plants at church. And let's see, if she doesn't kill the plants, then I know I can trust her with more. Peggy does that faithfully. So God gives her a go with a real live person to disciple. And Peggy disciples that girl well. Then God decides with her faithful record so far, he's going to entrust her with a few more. And soon the Lord is entrusting Peggy with a whole connect group to look after. Because Peggy has been found faithful. She was found faithful in the little things. Now God's giving her more. The Lord is looking for fruit in our lives. God loves his kids. So he only wants to entrust the care of his children, his people, to someone who he knows will really look after them. He's not going to give a novice a go because they might wreak some havoc and do some damage on his kids. He will test out people first. He will choose someone who has been proven to be trustworthy and faithful. So he gives us tests like serving. He firstly tests us with a small task like turning up on a roster once a month, early, or on Sunday nights. He won't entrust us with the many if we can't be faithful with the few. He's not going to give us hundreds if we can't be faithful with one. And he's not even going to give us one if we can't be faithful to do the job he has entrusted us to do. The test of serving. God also tests us in how we serve another person. That's on the end of that Luke 16 bit there. So what I'm talking about here is, before God will give you your own home, he will watch how well you take care of the rented house you are living in right now. Oh God, don't you know I want my own business? I'm praying to be my own boss. Well, before God will give you your own business, he will watch how you serve your boss right now in the business where you are working. But God, don't you know you've called me to be a youth pastor? When, Lord, when? How long? When are you going to give me this youth ministry? Before God will give you your own youth ministry, he will watch how well you serve your youth pastors right now. Am I faithful in what is another person's business, another person's church, another person's workplace? The Lord will test us with this first before entrusting us with our own. So where do we serve? Where? Well, we start where God has placed us. Now we're going to get into our main text in Genesis 24. Genesis 24 is actually a very romantic love story, but we're not really going to view it in that light today. But that's just a bit of light reading for you later if you want to. So a bit of background here. We've got Abraham, and he is looking for it to set up his son with a wife, and he doesn't want his son to hook up with unbelievers who live nearby. He's wanting his son to get a believing Christian wife. So he sends his servant to go and find a wife back with his whanau who believe in God. So we're going to pick it up at verse 10. Genesis 24:10. This servant took 10 of his master Abraham's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was towards evening, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he prayed, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today. Show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I'm standing beside the spring and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, 'Please let down your jar that I may have a drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I'll water your camels too,' let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac." So this is a hard prayer. He's putting a fleece right out there. "By this I will know that you've shown kindness to my master." Before he had finished praying, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. So in other words, a distant relative. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, "Please give me a little water from your jar." "Drink, my lord," she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, "I'll draw water for your camels too," until they had finished drinking. Bingo. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took out and he put all this gold jewelry on her, just speeding it up here. They went back to their house and he met her family, her older brother, her dad, and different ones, and they talked about it. And he testified, "I prayed this prayer, God answered. This is God. This is so God." And so they said, "Will you go with him?" "Yes, I will go." She thought, "Man, this is God as well." So I'm going to pick it up again on verse 60 down here. Here we go, verse 60. "Rebecca and her maids got ready," so they're going to go back now and meet up with Isaac, "and mounted their camels and went back with the man. So the servant took Rebecca and left. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahai Roy, for he was living in the Negev. He went out to the field one evening to meditate, and he looked up, he saw camels approaching. Rebecca also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, 'Who is that man who is in the field coming to meet us?' 'He is my master,' the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done." Isaac thought, "This is God." "And Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebecca. She became his wife. He loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." So we see Rebecca serving faithfully in the area where God had placed her, in her family home. She was such a servant-hearted girl that she even served a stranger willingly by watering his camels. She didn't have to, she offered to. This was a very physical job. Camels hold a lot of water. God has given camels a large capacity to hold water. That's why they're so handy in the desert. They go for miles without needing a drink. 25 miles, and if needed to, they can even go up to 65 miles without having a drink. But when they drink, those camels know how to drink. Man, I used to know how to drink before I got saved. I used to drink a lot. But one of those camels, they could drink me under the table because they can hold their liquor, or their water. Do you know a thirsty camel can drink 40 gallons, 40 gallons of water each? She would have been up and down those steps to that well with her bucket lots of times, get some water and then pour it out for the camels, go down the steps to the well, get some water, pour it out for the camels. She was working her butt off, man, because she was a servant. She was used to serving. She had a lifestyle of serving. You know, camels drink 40 gallons of water each. If there were 10 camels, I don't know how many there were camels plural, that's 400 gallons of water. Man, we used to have big 44-gallon drums on the farm. Who knows what a 44-gallon drum is, like a big drum, steel drum. And so that's 9 of those she had to get for someone she didn't even know. But she did not know she was fulfilling the word of God as she served. She was used to serving. She had made a decision to serve. She was obviously used to helping around in her house, serving in her house, just like we serve in the house of God where he's put us. She would do whatever needed doing. She was serving, serving, serving here, serving there, just serving, serving everywhere. She was a serving machine. She was even, she'd do anything, whatever was needed, even serving by feeding and watering the animals, even the camels. Camels. All through this beautiful love story of chapter 24 of Genesis are these camels. And camels are filthy, dirty things. Has anyone ever ridden a camel? I rode one up Mount Sinai at 3 a.m. once while Alan walked. And you have to put your legs sort of over the hump part, and it's quite difficult. But they spit and they're grumpy, they're bad-tempered. There's nothing flash about camels. But, you know, I looked in this chapter, and the word camel or camels appears 13 times in the NIV. And if you go to the New Living, it appears like 18 times. In the first 10 mentions of the word camel or camels, they are seen as the workhorses they are. So she's just serving these camels. But in the 11th, 12th, and 13th time, when I read you that last bit at the end from verse 60, the camels are mentioned. They are carrying her to her destiny. Get this. The thing that she served was the same thing that carried her to her destiny in God. The thing that she served was the same thing that carried her to Isaac, her future, to her place of great fruitfulness, where she became the mother of twins, and they became the parents of 12 tribes. She became a mother in Israel. Literally, she became the mother to Israel, because she had Jacob and Esau, and Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Don't despise the thing you serve. Don't despise the ministry you serve in. It may just be the very thing that God uses to carry you to your destiny in God, to transport you to exactly where you need to be in that place of fruitfulness in God. She ended up exactly where she was meant to be, in the right place in the right time. The serving was all preparation. Now we see Abraham, he's a type of Father God. We see the unnamed servant is always a type of the Holy Spirit. And we see Isaac as a type of Christ, a patriarch, a father in the faith. And Rebekah is the bride of Isaac, the bride of Christ, the church. So in marrying him, she got to be positioned in the pages of the Bible. She made the Bible, man, because she was a servant of God. She became the ancestor of Jesus Christ, all because she was willing to do a bit of hard work of serving where she was amongst the camels. So we get this big picture of the Holy Spirit sent by the Father, leading the unnamed servant, leading Rebekah, the church, the bride of Christ, being transported on the very thing she was serving to meet her husband Isaac, a picture of Jesus, to fulfill her God-given destiny and become fruitful, become the mother of someone who was the father of the 12 sons of Israel, the 12 tribes, because she served in the place, in the house where God had put her. You know, imagine if Rebecca had said to her dad, "Sorry, Dad, I don't do camels. I'll cook and clean, but I draw the line at camels. There are some things, Dad, that are just below a girl, and camels is one of them. I ain't doing camels." She would have missed it all. And that unnamed servant prayed a hard prayer, because most people would not have taken the serving thing that far and watered all of those camels. But because she served in her house, even doing camels, she was picked out by God and transported on those very camels to that place of great fruitfulness. I want to tell you today, people, don't hate the thing you're serving. Don't get sick of the ministry or the house you're serving in. It is a vital thing to get you to where you need to be. God is watching our service. Those dirty camels you're serving are significant. You know, imagine there's Rebecca praying, "Oh God, give me a husband, a mighty man of God. I can't see any at the synagogue on Sunday. There's not too many around here. God, do something." And God was doing something. He was watching her serve. He was setting her up, not only for a great husband, but to be used mightily and powerfully by God. Be faithful in the camels that you're serving. God is going to use those same camels to transport you to where you need to be. Those dirty camels you're serving are significant. What are your camels? You know, the way up is down in the kingdom. When the Holy Spirit is choosing someone for a special world-changing assignment, He looks for a servant every time. He will pick someone who is not afraid to do a bit of hard work. He's looking for someone who's prepared to get their hands dirty. Let's not be too precious to do a bit of serving. Because serving is all part of the processes of God. You don't get to do the destiny bit unless you're prepared to do the serving bit first. But so often we despise that common thing that we're serving, those camels, because it's just so normal. It's just boring. It's not even spiritual. You've got your head down, working hard, serving in the worship team, serving in the kids' ministry, serving in the youth or the young adults that are in power. You think God's forgotten you. No, He hasn't. He's preparing you right now. He is training you. We see this in the Bible. Like little Samuel, 1 Samuel 3, verse 1, and that whole chapter right up to verse 15. Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. And little Samuel, he got up and he opened, and it said he got up and opened the doors of the tabernacle as usual. So that was his job. He would unlock the building, and he would lock it again. He looked so cute in his wee linen ephod. He served in God's house from when he was a little boy, just a kindy kid. And he did whatever Eli the priest told him to do. He was his little PA, his little assistant. He did all the chores. And then God promoted Samuel to be the prophet, the leader of the house of God for all his life. Samuel served in God's house. Then he became the leader of God's house and the nation. Do you know, often we don't want to be serving where we are. We'd rather be somewhere else. We'd rather be anywhere else. Anywhere, somewhere, anywhere else than where we are now. God, send me somewhere dramatic, somewhere exotic, like America or somewhere. But God doesn't do that. He makes us serve right where we are, in our hometown or in our home church. It's not exotic. It's not exciting. It's just familiar and even a little bit boring. It's so very normal. But God takes that normal thing, that ministry that you are serving in, those people you're serving, and He will even use that very thing to transport you to exactly where you need to be. So don't despise that serving role you have right now. It is more significant than you know. Ben, can you come, please? The Lord is watching how you and I serve. Maybe you're serving in the youth. Don't despise those young people and the young adults. Don't despise those young ones that you're serving, you're driving around, that drop Coke cans in your car. Those ones that you're leading every week, that you're praying for every week. That youth ministry may be the same thing that carries you into your destiny in God, to that place of fruitfulness, to where God wants to plant you. You know, lots of us in this building used to lead youth ministry. Hands up if you used to be involved in youth ministry or still are. Yeah, lots of people. I can remember when I got saved and I said to our youth pastor, can I help? Can I do something? Can I help? And he goes, well, I think you could lead. You could help someone lead a connect group. So I was helping, man. They put me with this guy who had been leading one for longer, and I didn't even have a car to pick up young people. And so he had a car, but it only had two doors. So he would pick me up, and then we'd go to the first young person's place, and I'd get out, and they'd get in, then in the back, and then I'd get in again. And then we'd drive to the next young person's place, and I'd get out, and they'd get in the back, and then I'd get in again. Then we'd go to the next one, and we'd fill up this little car with young people. And every week, I'd ring him up on the phone. And it was always a short conversation. We had phones back then that were attached to walls. And when you dial them, your fingernails would break. It was a bit of an ordeal. And I'd ring up all my young people, and this is how we go. Hi, how are you? Good. What are you doing? Nothing. Are you coming to Connect Group? Yep. Do you need a ride? No. Okay, see you there, bye. And that was what it was like all week. Some things never change. And pray for them every day. Alan did the same. We weren't going out. At his connect group, they gave him a young adults one. His was flash. They just gave me a high school one. But we were faithful to serve in our connect groups. Then God entrusted us with a youth group. And because we were faithful to serve those young people, God gave us a shot at the church. He always tests us with the test of serving faithfully. And some of those young people who were in our youth back then are now some of the backbone of our church today, here. Some of you are here today who were in our youth group 20 years ago. Jared and Rachel Pratt, Nathan and Ange Smart, Lisa and Chris Higgins, Aaron Irwin, Adam and Michelle Twiddell, Matt Glover, who was on stage, Peter Lawrence, Mike Morgan, Dave Jump, Nicola Wilson. If I've missed you, I'm sorry. But we still get to serve God here together. We're still doing youth ministry, but we're all a bit older now. I look at Joanne, our worship pastor, who's playing keys somewhere else right now, I'm pretty sure at Coast. She served in her mum and dad's church, even as a 12-year-old, playing piano. And it was her amazing piano playing that transported her to her current place of fruitfulness as a worship pastor. Imagine if she got sick of serving, playing the piano, and despised it and gave up. You know, we've got Rachel here on the front row who served us in youth, doing the admin and making youth calendars and programs. And it's her amazing admin that is what God is using now as she does admin and pastoral care systems for the whole church. Imagine if she thought, oh, this is dumb. This is pointless, and given up. I remember Nathan Smart, always a petrol head, loved fixing people's cars and here to help them with their cars when they broke down and spent hours fixing people's cars. Now he's doing something awesome with cars and selling cars. Lisa Higgins, I remember her in the youth, and she has a heart of great compassion. And there was a girl who was a bit special needs, and Lisa had more patience with her than any of us put together. And she would help that girl. Now she's in charge of the whole department for special needs at Bethlehem College. God uses the stuff we serve in. Don't give up serving it. Don't despise the thing you're serving in. It could be the very thing that God uses to transport you to that place of fruitfulness He wants you to be in. Where we are serving is significant. What we are serving is significant. Don't discount it. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. It may be the very thing that carries you into a place of great influence and fruitfulness. Let's stand this morning. Let's put away our Bibles and things. Thank you, Lord. Let's close our eyes. I believe God's speaking to us individually about this topic this morning. What are you doing to serve the Lord where you don't get paid? It may not even be in this building. It may be a ministry that's outside of this church, but you're serving the Lord. You're not getting paid. You're doing it. You're giving up your time to serve Him. I know all our secular jobs are powerful ministry opportunities. We're all pastors in our workplace. But I want to encourage you today, we've all got to be investing our time and energy into serving something or someone in the kingdom of God where it's not a paid role. What is that thing? if you don't have a thing yet or you don't know where it's meant to be, I want to encourage you to get on a roster, to come and talk to Victor after. He's over all of hospitality. Start somewhere. Talk to Delwyn down in A1 if you want to start serving in kids. Do something. God can steer a moving ship. Father, I pray right now that you would speak to us about what it is you want us to do. Father, I pray that you would lead us on. Let's lift our hands to God right now. Lord, we surrender. Lord, we know you've given us a dream of the future and how you want us to be, influencing others and being greatly fruitful. But Lord, it starts here now with serving. Lord, show us where we can serve, how we can serve. Lord, we lay our dreams before you again right now. We surrender them to you. And Lord, we say, you are faithful. Bring it on, Lord, in the right way, in the right time. We're not going to try and shortcut this process, Lord. We trust you. We trust you in Jesus' name.